Gary, I tell you, you have been lighting up Twitter lately with some various stories that you've had. And by the way, welcome to the Matt Mosley Show. It's great to have you back.
Are you Matt Mosley? Am I on with the host?
Yes, 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 you are.
How you doing? No, I was just kidding. How's everything going, Matt?
It's going fine. It's going fine. And as you know, Texans, we sort of plow right through pandemics. I know it's been really, really tough times where you are. Here, of course, Gary, we've reopened a lot of things, and it's all talk about football. And I think on the 8th, everybody's going to get going again, June 8th, and we'll get some football going. It does look like the NFL will try to start on time, maybe with limited fans. This Jamal Adams story has really lit up everyone. Gary, first of all, do you think that the Cowboys, we know the Cowboys were interested when that came up before the trade deadline, you know, Jamal Adams, unhappy, all those things. This is a tremendous safety. And I would say, Gary, just so I have this straight and our listeners have this straight, would you have Jamal Adams as a top five safety in the NFL? Would that be fair?
Oh, I think he's the best safety in the NFL.
You think he's number one?
He was first team all pro last year. He's played 3 years, and you know, he's now an established veteran. And I know people downplay the importance of safeties, but the Jets did take him sixth overall in the draft. He was that good. Now, it was a different regime that drafted him, but still, if the Jets hadn't taken him sixth, then it wasn't going to be very much longer before somebody else took him. So I think people are tending to undervalue safeties and running backs for whatever reason, thinking the game has changed so much. But, you know, the way I look at it, you know, a safety who can play up close to the line of scrimmage, he's not the best cover guy, but he's an impact player. And for a team like the Cowboys that's pretty much all in on trying to win this year with all these contracts they've been handing out, I think he'd be a perfect fit.
And you remember Darren Woodson was so incredible. It's weird that the Cowboys have not valued that position more. In fact, they've kind of been held hostage at that position because they haven't been very good. Do you sense that Jerry, Steven, the power structure of the Cowboys have been for a good many, for the last year, taking a long look at Adams, that maybe he's so special that they could get past whatever's keeping them from either drafting safeties or spending big money on safeties?
Well, the way I would answer that, Matt, is they were prepared to give a first-round pick at the trade deadline last October, which all Cowboy fans know turned out to be CeeDee Lamb. The pick was a lot higher than the Cowboys even thought it would be back at the trade deadline. And, you know, now that they have Lamb, and I know how much they love him, and they gave him number 88, and they're envisioning, you know, Lamb with Cooper and Gallup as being maybe the best wide receiver group in the league. But the fact that they're willing to give up that number one pick last year, I think it shows that for the right safety, they value the position. Perhaps it just haven't been enough of them that have come along, but you know, Ronnie Lott was a Hall of Fame player. I'm not saying Adams is like that.
Yeah.
But safeties have made pretty good impact. You mentioned Darren Woodson, who one day might be in the Hall of Fame. Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. I mean, these guys are impact players on really good teams. So I don't know where the notion has come from that you don't really need to invest in a safety.
I don't understand it, other than they invest so much on offense, they don't have any money left. Talking to Gary Myers, longtime Daily News columnist, joining the Matt Mosley Show. Where is the level of unhappiness? You've covered a lot of unhappy players over the years. Is it to the level where you feel like he's going to be able to force their hand, or does this Douglas that you've been writing about, this GM, does he do you think he's going to dig in, kind of wait this out, and it'll become a long staring contest? What do you think Adams is going to be able to accomplish here?
Well, I do think that the Jets want to keep him. But at the same time, it depends how uncomfortable Adams makes it for the Jets. Because he's played 3 years. He's under contract. They picked up the fifth-year option. So he's under contract for two more years, and then they can franchise him for four years, which get pretty high. So as far as the Jets are concerned, like, they don't need to do anything right now, and they prefer to wait till after his fourth year to sign him. We've seen, you know, Aaron Donald held out two training camps, and the Rams finally gave him a new contract after his fourth year. Adams wants it after his third year. And the Jets are pretty insistent that they're just not going to be doing that. So how big a disruptive force can he be between now and the start of the season to force his way out? If he becomes convinced that the Jets absolutely will not give him a new contract until after this season, and the Jets become convinced that this guy who is a well-respected team leader and the best player on the team, if he's going to be disruptive, and he's really not that kind of guy, but you know, when you're getting into a guy's pocket, you never can. It's hard to predict what their behavior is going to be, and he might just make himself so miserable, feeling that he's underpaid and underappreciated, that it might be in the Jets' best interest to trade him. But his only leverage right now is kind of if he wants to be a jerk about it, or he just doesn't show up for training camp. But there's a lot of repercussions that come out of that now with the new CBA. So there's still time here to see how this plays out. But the bottom line is he's a really good player, and I think the Jets want to keep him, and I'd be shocked if the Cowboys don't want him.
What about
and he's from Dallas, you know, so that certainly adds to the equation.
What about the Michael Gallup portion of this that you were exploring? Could a first in a Michael Gallup? I mean, I think people around here have been responding to you. Oh, he's not a sweetener. He's a great receiver, and he is. He's a really good receiver, but he's about to become the third wide receiver, and it could be an incredible receiving core. But would you give him up to have one of the best, or not the best, safety in the game? I think it's an interesting thing. I hadn't heard a lot of people talking much about Gallup around here until you brought this up. And suddenly they've fallen in love with Michael Gallup.
I think I made it clear, Matt, on Twitter that this was my idea. It wasn't the Jets were going to be asking for him. In fact, after I put that tweet out, my source called me and said that he heard it's definitely a 1 and a 3 that the Jets are asking for. I mean, I would certainly ask for Michael Gallup because he is going to be as good as he is, and he's an emerging player. You have to figure with the commitment they made to Amari Cooper, he's the number one wideout. CeeDee Lamb, if it's as good as everybody thinks he is, he's probably a better player than Michael Gallup, although he obviously hasn't done anything yet in the NFL. And Gallup is now more of a proven commodity. He'd be perfect for the Jets, who are desperate for number one wide receiver. So I just thought it made sense. And when you consider that Gallup has 2 years to go to free agency, it would give the Jets a long look at him before deciding whether to re-sign him. It's unlikely with Cooper's contract and CeeDee Lamb that the Jets are going to want to commit money to Gallup, although the way I understand Cooper's contract, they can get out of it after 2 years, so maybe that's what their plan is. It just made sense to me, but it was strictly me trying to assess the needs of both teams and that wide receivers, for the most part, are replaceable parts. And I would say on a scale of which one is more of a special player at his position, more of an impact player, I would have to say it's Adams, especially in the Cowboys, because he's unlike anything they have, and Gallup is one of three.
That's true. I do believe that's true. People have been leaning on you for ideas when it comes to trades in the New York area, Gary, for many years. So don't sell yourself short. I can imagine the people over at Jetsland like, Gallup, that sounds like a pretty good idea from Myers. It is Gary Myers, longtime columnist from New York, joining us on the Matt Mosley Show. What is the reaction to the Mims pick? You know, Jets fans famously hate every first-round pick, it seems like, or and all that kind of stuff. But Mims is, you know, he played for my alma mater. Great, great player. I mean, just did everything. Tremendous leader and player, and his last year he got even better. What's the general thought on Denzel Mims? Because the only thing I'm scared of is them expecting too much right away.
Well, they are going to expect a lot from him because the Jets just don't have a top group of receivers. As far as the reaction with Mims, I mean, listen, college football is not huge in New York. So when you have a group of 8 or 9 receivers like there were this year, the average fan here doesn't know the difference between the guy who is maybe ranked 3rd or 4th and the guy who winds up getting picked 8th or 9th out of that group. And we know from history that just because you were the 3rd wide receiver taken, it's certainly no guarantee you're going to be better than the guy who's the 8th wide receiver taken. So Joe Douglas traded down in the 2nd round and wound up with Mims. I don't know where he stood on the other wideouts, whether he lost out on some guys by trading down. I think it was like 11 spots or something like that. But I know the Jets are really happy getting him, and they feel that the ceiling is very high. That correct me if I'm wrong on this, Matt, but you know, most of the stuff, most of the routes that he ran were deep, and he needs to get a little bit more diversified in his route tree. But they feel that he's just got a ton of ability.
Yeah.
And I think the Jet fans just wanted them to see them upgrade the receiver group. They let Robbie Anderson go, who was really like a one-trick pony kind of guy. All he did was just ran, you know, deep down the sideline. And he was good at it, but he really had nothing much else to his game. And I think that Mims' potential is much greater than what Anderson would have done.
I mean, he killed the best team in the conference for 3 or 4 years, the Sooners. I mean, I bet if you look at those numbers, Gary, like 400 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, 4 or 5. I mean, it was a huge amount. He just, you know, so he likes the bright lights, and he'll go up and make big plays. I think you'll like him. I mean, will he remind you of the original 88, a man, a good friend of yours and mine, who you used to cover for the morning news? I don't know. I'm not going to go that far. But, and by the way, I'm talking about the original 88, Drew Pearson, yes. They hand that number out like candy down here. It's like, oh, CeeDee Lamb, welcome to town. You're number 88. I'm getting a little tired of that.
Matt, the thing I found really funny, I don't mean to interrupt you there, but what I found so funny is that, you know, they're going and asking Irvin, you know, how do you feel about that? And asking Bryant, you know, is it okay that DeeDee Lamb, you know, wears number 88, you know, like they have to get the permission of all these guys. You know, is it okay with Dez that 88? Like, I know Dez is the all-time touchdown leader, but I don't really think you need to get Dez Bryant's permission to give out his number.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The League of 88, you don't need to convene them. I want to say, did Antonio Bryant wear it for a little while too? The 2nd round pick out of Pittsburgh. It's like Jerry's way. It's like, oh man, if we put 88 on them, they'll just automatically be great.
Antonio Brown, Bryant.
Yeah.
Who threw the jersey top or the towel right at Bill Parcells when he had a disagreement with him in practice.
Oh, you remember, I think you liked how I described that. The sweaty, remember that? I love that story. It was the sweaty practice jersey on top of Parcells' head.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was true or not.
And he was still on the roster the next day, which was probably the biggest upset of Parcells' career.
Yeah. Bill had, boy, I tell you, you have covered some colorful personalities over the years. Gary, always fun catching up with you. Stay safe. I know it's been crazy there, but Cuomo's welcoming professional sports to town, so hopefully that's a sign that maybe things are turning in the right direction there.
Well, I'd like to see the numbers get better here in New York before we start embracing things. It's obviously when they open it up and the teams start playing, there's not going to be any fans in the stadiums here in New York. In July. We'll see what happens when the football season opens in September, but I still think that's going to be too soon in this part of the country.
You could argue the Jets are uniquely prepared for this with some of the, you know, the crowds they have.
I'll tell you this real fast. I have a friend of mine who has four really, really good season tickets to, right behind the Jets bench. The PSL price was $25,000 on these. But he says to me about 6 weeks ago, you know, if they start the season on time and they let fans in, he goes, there's no way I'm going to a game in September. And I say, well, that's not a problem. Just wait till October. If the Jets are like they usually are, you'll have plenty of room around you in the stadium. So that's kind of along the lines of what you were saying.
Exactly. All right, Gary, good catching up with you. Let's be in touch, okay?
Sounds good, Matt. Take care.